The ones still left in place were smashed in with a mace. The drawers and their contents on the floor had been crushed underfoot. Chandelin squatted and pulled open the few drawers near the bottom that had remained untouched, inspecting briefly their stores before sliding each drawer closed again.
Nissel would be, how do you say, astonished?
Astonished, Kalin answered.
She would be astonished to see this many healing plants. This is a crime, to destroy things that help people.
She watched him pull open drawers and then slide them closed.
A crime, she agreed.
He pulled open another drawer and gasped. He squatted, motionless for a moment, before reverently lifting a bundle of miniature plants, tied at their stems with a bit of string. The tiny, dry leaves were a dusky, greenish-brown with crimson veining. A low whistle came from between his teeth.
Jacinto,
he whispered. Kalin eyed the shadowed back of the shop as her vision adjusted to the darkness. She saw no bodies. The proprietor must have fled before he was killed, or maybe he was one who had stood with the army against the invaders.
What is Jacinto?
Chandelin turned the bundle over in his palm, his eyes fixed unblinking on it.
Jacinto can save your life if you take 10-step poison by mistake, or if you are quick enough when shot by an arrow with the poison on it.
How can you take it by mistake?
Many poison bandu leaves must be chewed for a long time and made wet in your mouth before being cooked until they become a thick paste. Sometimes, if you swallow some of the wetness in your mouth by accident or chew too long, it can make you sick.
He opened a buckskin waste pouch and showed her a small, carved, bone-lidded box. Inside was a dark paste.
This is 10-step poison we put on our arrows. We make it from the bandu. If you ate a very little of this, it would make you sick. If you ate a little more, you would be a long time to die. If you ate more, you would die quick. But no one would eat it after it is made and put in here.
He slipped the box of poison back in his pouch.
So you could take some of the Jacinto, and it would make you well if you accidentally swallowed some of the bandu when you were chewing its leaves to make the poison?
He nodded in answer to her question.
But if you were shot with a 10-step arrow, wouldn't you die before you could take the Jacinto?
Chandelin turned the bundle of plants in his fingers.
Maybe. Sometimes a man will scratch himself with his own 10-step arrow by not meaning to, and he can take the Jacinto and he will be well again. If you are shot with a poison arrow, sometimes you will have time to save yourself. 10-step arrows only work quick if you are shot in the neck. Then you have no time to take the Jacinto. You will die too quick. But if you are shot in another place, maybe your leg, the poison takes longer to work, and you have time to take the Jacinto.
What if you aren't near to Nissel, so she could give it to you? You would die if you were out on the plains hunting and you scratched yourself accidentally with a poison arrow.
All hunters used to carry a few leaves with them, so they may take it if they scratched themselves or were shot with an arrow and had time. If there is not much poison on the arrow, like if it has not much on it because it is used to hunt small animals, you have longer. In times long ago, when there was war, our men would swallow Jacinto just before a battle, so the enemy's 10-step arrows would not poison them.
He shook his head sadly.
But this is much trouble to get. The last time we traded for this much, every man in the village had to make 3 bows and 2 fists of arrows, and all the women had to make bowls. It is gone now, for a long time. Years. The people we traded with have been able to find no more. 2 men have died since we no longer have it. My people would trade much to have this much again.
Kalin stood over him, watching him gently place it back in the drawer.
Take it, Chandelin. Give it to your people. They have need of it.
He slowly slid the drawer closed.
I cannot. It would be wrong to take it from another people, even if they are dead. It does not belong to my people. It belongs to the people here.
Kalin squatted down next to him, pulled open the drawer, and lifted out the little bundle. She found a square of cloth lying on the floor nearby, used for packaging purchases, and wrapped the Jacinto plants.
Take it.
She pushed the bundle into his hand.
I know the people of this city. I will repay them for what I have taken. Since I will pay for it, it belongs to me now. Take it. It is my gift for the trouble I have caused your people."
He stared at the cloth parcel in his hand.
"It is too valuable for a gift. A gift of such great value would bind us to an obligation to you."
"Then it is not a gift, but my payment to you and Prindan and Tossadin for guarding me on this journey. You three are risking your lives to protect me. That is a debt I owe you that is greater than this payment. You will owe me no more obligation."
With a frown, he studied the bundle a moment, and then bounced it twice in his hand before tucking it in the buckskin pouch at his waist. He tied the flap closed by its rawhide thong and stood.
"Then this is in trade for what we do. We owe you no obligation beyond this journey."
"None,"
she said, sealing the bargain. The two of them walked on through the silent streets, past the shops and inns of the old city quarter. Every door, every window was broken in. Shards of glass sparkled in the sunlight, shimmering tears for the dead. The invading horde had swept through every building, searching out anything alive.
"How do this many thousands, all living in this one place, find land to feed their families? There could not be enough game to hunt, or fields for all to plant."
Kaelin tried to see the city through his eyes. It must be a great puzzle to him.
"They don't all hunt or plant the land. The people who lived here specialized."
"Specialized? What is this?"
"It means that different people have different jobs. They work at one thing. They use silver or gold to buy the things they need that they don't grow or make themselves."
"Where do they get this silver or gold?"
"People who want the thing they specialize in pay for it with silver or gold."
"And where do these others get this silver or gold?"
"They get it from people who pay them for the things they do."
Shondalin looked at her skeptically.
"Why do they not trade? It would be easier to trade."
"Well, in a way it is trading. Often the person who wants what you have has nothing you want, so they give you money. Silver or gold made into flat, round discs called coins instead. Then you can use the money to buy things you need."
"Buy."
Shondalin seemed to test the strange word with his tongue as he looked off down a street to their right while shaking his head in disbelief.
"Why would people work then? Why would they not just go and get this silver or gold money?"
"Some do. They hunt silver and gold. But that is hard work too. Gold is hard to find and dig out of the ground. That is why it is used for money, because it is rare. If it were easy to find like grains of sand, then no one would take it in trade. If money were easy to get or to make, it would become worthless, and then in the end this system of trade with worthless money would fail, and everyone would starve."
He came to a halt with a frown.
"What is this money made from? What is this silver or gold you speak of?"
She didn't stop with him, and he had to take a few bounding steps to catch back up with her.
"Gold is the medallion, the necklace that the Bontoc gave as a gift to the Mud People to show they did not wish to make war. That is made of gold."
Shondalin nodded with a knowing grunt. Kaelin halted this time.
"Do you know where the Bontoc got that much gold?"
Shondalin swept his gaze across the slate rooftops.
"Of course. They got it from us."
Kaelin gripped his arm, covered with his mantle, and pulled him around.
"What do you mean, they got it from you?"
He tensed at her touch. He didn't like her hand, a confessor's hand, on him. That the fur mantle separated actual contact of flesh was of no consequence. Their flesh was close enough. If she relaxed her restraint of the power, that thin piece of hide would be no impediment. Kaelin had loosed her power through armor before. She released her grip, and he visibly relaxed.
"Shondalin, where did the Mud People get that much gold?"
He looked at her as if she were a child asking where you might find dirt.
"From the holes in the ground. In our land to the north, where it is rocky, and nothing much will grow or live, there are holes in the ground. They have this gold in them. It is a bad place. The air is hot and bad. It is said that men die if they stay too long in the ground. The yellow metal is in these deep holes. It is too soft to make good weapons, so it is of no use."
He dismissed its importance with a wave of his hand.
"But the Bontoc say their ancestors' spirits like the look of the yellow metal,
and so we let them come onto our land and go in the holes, so they may get it to make things their ancestors' spirits may like to look upon when they come to this world.
Chandelin, do others know of these holes in the ground, of the gold that is in them?
He shrugged. We do not let outsiders come to our land. But I told you, it is too soft to make weapons with, so it is of no use. It pleases the Bantak, and they are good traders with us, so we let them take what they want. They do not take much, though, because it is a bad place to go into. No one would want to go there except the Bantak, to please their ancestors' spirits.
How could she explain it to him? He didn't understand the ways of the outside world. Chandelin, you must never use this gold.
He made a face that said he had already explained how useless it was, and no one would want it.
You may think it is useless, but others would kill to get it. If people knew you had gold on your land, they would swarm over you to get it. The craving for gold makes men crazy, and they would do anything to get it. They would kill mud people.
Chandelin straightened with a smug expression. He took his hand from the bowstring and tapped his chest. I and my men protect our people. We would keep the outsiders away.
Kaelin swept her arm around, taking in the hundreds upon hundreds of dead around her. Against this many? Against thousands?
Chandelin had never seen this many people. He understood little of the numbers that lived outside his lands.
Thousands who would never stop coming until they swept you aside?
His eyes followed the arc her arm had taken. His brow wrinkled with the frown of a worry unfamiliar to him, his arrogance evaporating as he took in the dead. Our ancestors' spirits have warned us not to speak of the holes in the ground with the bad air. We only let the Bantak go there, no one else.
See that it stays that way, she said, or they will come and steal it.